The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you can join us for this netcast as we continue with our teaching that we started last time on the netcast. Matter of fact, if you haven't seen that one, I encourage you to go back to the archives and check that message out, because we're talking about faith being a choice. Faith is a choice that you have to make. Now, normally I go into a lot of, updates and so forth on SpeakFaith.tv or Word of Faith Radio. I encourage you to go to SpeakFaith.tv, check it out. There's a lot of exciting things happening there. You could get it online, you could get it on the Roku, because it is a Roku channel primarily. But if you want to go online, you can get it from SpeakFaith.tv, as it says there on the bottom of the screen. Check out that website, and you'll be able to watch SpeakFaith.tv right there on the web from any device that connects to the internet. And then, of course, Word of Faith Radio. We had a great Word of Faith Radio rally. Lynn and Kathy Bink were there. We had just a great crowd, great message from Lynn and Kathy. And I encourage you to go to the Word of Faith Worship Center website and listen to that message. It's right there on the website, WOFWC, Word of Faith Worship Center, WOFWC.org. Check that out. There's a message there, and Pastor Robert Jackson would love for you to check out their website, check out the church. If you are in the Concord area and you're looking for a good Word church to go to, I can recommend Brother Robert Jackson and all the folks there at Word of Faith Worship Center. Now, let's go directly into our message, picking up a little before we left off last time so that we can kind of have that play out the way it should. And then join me at the end of the program, and I'll give you the address where you can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. About 24 hours have passed. And as they passed by, they saw the fig tree had dried up from the roots. Now, the fig tree being dried up from the roots is an actual physical manifestation. Okay? Nothing spiritual about it. That fig tree had dried up. So something had occurred. And the disciples noticed it. And you know, Peter, being the loudmouth that he was, is the one that had to point it out. And so Peter calling to remembrance, well, he had to call to remembrance because it's 24 hours ago, right? So he calls to remembrance. He said to him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus, I can see him grinning, said, "Have faith in God." Or some Greek references say, "Have the God kind of faith." Matter of fact, in the Today's Living Version, there's a footnote. And in that footnote, it says specifically, "Have God's faith." That's pretty powerful. No matter how you look at it, have God's faith? I mean, it's one thing to talk about your faith. You know, we know that like the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus told her, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." But what Jesus is saying here, this is how you use the God kind of faith. What did God do with his faith? We know from Hebrews chapter 11 that the worlds, all the worlds that were created, were framed by the Word of God, by the words that God spoke out of his own mouth. And that is through or by the means of his faith that he spoke those words. And as a matter of fact, I mean, we know from Genesis, you go back to Genesis and look, what did he do? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And actually, in the Hebrew, it's even clearer, because in the Hebrew, it's the one word, light, but in the present tense. So it's as though God looked into the absolute darkness, the absolute blackness, where there was nothing on top of nothing on top of nothing, and he was there, because he's always existed, and he looked out at everything, there was nothing there, and he said, "Light." In other words, as though he saw light there. Well, what was he doing? Romans chapter 4 says, He was calling those things that be not. Was light yet? No. Light didn't exist yet. But he was calling those things that be not as though they were. So when he spoke light, it was as though he were recognizing light. But you know, the cool thing about God is when God says something, it comes to pass. So when he said light, like present tense light, it came to pass. There was light. So in the King James, let there be light, and there was light. Well, that's how God uses his faith. He speaks words, and he uses his faith, and his words are containers of his faith, which is the power of God. So, Jesus says, have God's kind of faith. And basically, in so many words, I'm going to show you how to use God's kind of faith. And that's exactly what he does. Verse 23, for verily or truly I say to you that whosoever shall say. Now, I've often said when I was teaching this that this is available to whosoever, but really it's not. Because one day I was teaching this and the Lord showed me something that I hadn't seen before. He said, notice it's not just whosoever, it's whosoever shall say. You can be a whosoever and not say. And if you're a whosoever and don't say, it ain't going to work. And I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians today, they understand about faith, they've read the scriptures, they've heard Brother Hagin, they know about what faith is, but they're not saying. They're not talking to things. Well, yeah, but Dr. Bell, I feel funny talking to things. Well, then you're not going to see things happen. Because you got to say, you got to speak. And that's exactly what he says here. Whosoever shall say, so it is available to the whosoever, if they're willing to say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, we're going to come back to that, and shall believe, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we've read that, I don't know how many thousands of times we've probably read that. But have you really thought about it? Believe that those things which he saith. Now I was, again, it's funny to me how, as a teacher, I learn a lot when I'm teaching. Because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the teaching, and he'll use my mouth and he'll say things, and I'll, in the back of my mind, you know, I'm sitting there listening to myself, and I hear myself say something and go, ooh, that's good, I'm going to have to study that out. But I heard myself say one time, you've got to believe that what you are saying is coming to pass. So in other words, it's not just, well, now I'm in my prayer closet. I'm going to sit myself down right here and I'm going to say some things. And I expect them to come to pass. And I believe I receive that what I say is coming to pass. And then you walk right out of that prayer closet. You go right out to your wife and say, my back doesn't feel good. It hurts. Well, you're still saying. You're still talking. And what you are saying is coming to pass. So if you don't want your back to hurt, don't talk about your back hurting. Talk about how it's healed, praise God. How Jesus bore your sicknesses, carried your diseases. By his stripes we were healed. And if we were healed, then I am the healed. And Satan, you can't put symptoms on me because I'm the healed of the Lord. If you want to say something, say that. Because we've got to keep saying. We're a whosoever that shall say. So it's what we're saying that's coming to pass. Now, you may go to work, and you're just, you know, shooting the breeze with some folks around the water cooler. And you're just talking along, and you start saying things, and there's that little prickle at the back of your head going, oh man, you shouldn't be saying this. Well, you need to listen, particularly if you have prayed as David did. David in the Psalms counseled that what you should do is pray that a watch be put on your mouth. Now, a watch is like a watchman that's at the top of a parapet of a castle, and he's looking across the horizon, and he's seeing what's coming. And if the enemy's coming, he'll yell down as the watch, he'll yell down, I see the enemy approaching. Well, then they get ready, and they start, you know, get ready to fight, get ready to fortify the castle. So a watch is like an early warning system. So if you will pray, God will put a watch on your mouth. And he'll give you that little tickle. Now, he won't hit you in the head with a sledgehammer and tell you, don't say that. You know, those of us in the early Word of Faith days, we were confession beepers. You know, and I still, to this day, pastor will talk, he'll be up teaching, he'll talk about being a confession beeper. And there's still a part of me that says, yeah, you know, I think we still need a few confession beepers. Because what I hear some Christians saying these days, oh my goodness, I don't want it to come into pass. You know, particularly in their own life. So, but you know, we did carry it a little bit too extreme. There's no question. Yeah, that's what your confession is, and I believe every word of it. I mean, we used to really just jump on folks. Well, I don't jump on anybody anymore except myself. I will jump on myself. And that doesn't even require me to say anything to myself because I know what I'm thinking. Amen. So whenever I start to say something, I'll go, and I'll just try to chew those words back and not say them. Because what I'm saying is what's coming to pass. And it says here, you must believe that those things which you are saying are coming to pass. And once you do that, you'll have whatsoever you say. So we've got to believe that. We absolutely have to believe that. Now here's the thing. You know, there are people, I've heard them say, now, you know, Dr. Bill, I just can't believe that. I can't believe I'm supposed to just say certain things all the time. Or I can't believe that the Red Sea really actually split. Well, you know, they're 100% wrong. They can believe it. If they wanted to, they could believe it. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me as I began to study for this particular message, is that believing is a choice. And that's, well, if we wanted to title this tonight, that's what we'd call it. Believing is a choice. Now think about some of the things that people believe. There are people, and I'm talking about even people who identify themselves as Christians. Now, I saw a statistic recently, and I don't know whether to believe it or not. It was not substantiated. And you can read a lot of things, for instance, on Facebook, and you have no idea whether it's true or not. But it was a statistic that somebody quoted. And it may be true, I don't know, can't attest to it. But they said 14% of people that identify as Christians don't believe that the Scripture is literal. Got it reversed. 14% believe that the Scripture is literal. The rest of the percentage, whatever that would be, what would that be? 86%. Math is not my strong suit. 86% actually don't believe the Bible is literal. 14% do. Now, I don't know if that's a true statistic or not. But I wouldn't actually be surprised, sadly. But the thing is, we've got to believe that the Bible's true. I like what I heard Pastor Keith Moore say one time. He said, do I believe the Red Sea was split? Absolutely. Do I believe Jesus was raised physically from the dead? Not spiritually, not weird, freaky, funny, ghost stuff. But he physically was raised from the dead. He said, listen, folks, if you don't believe that, you're not born again. And I'm sure a lot of people swallowed hard on that one and went, what? Because, see, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's what Paul preached, was the word of faith. So I'm in good company preaching the word of faith. But he said, the word of faith which we preach, that, this is what the word of faith that we preach is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as your personal Lord, and means that what follows the and is just as important as what was before the and, okay? So believe Jesus and receive Jesus as Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Most folks go, yeah, okay, I believe that. But then the latter part is, and believe that God hath raised him from the dead. If you don't believe that, you don't meet the qualifications of Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, and you are not saved. But if you do, if you receive Jesus as your Lord, you believe God raised him physically from the dead, then it says, then you shall be, most emphatic way of speaking in English, shall be saved. And that word saved is the Greek word sozo. Now, I like to pronounce it sozo with a D because that little D is in there. A lot of people say sozo. And that's fine because the transliterated version of the word is sozo. But in the official pronunciation of the Greek, there's a little D in there, so it's sozo, okay? Sozo means saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and delivered from all temporal evil. That's the Greek definition, the full definition. Greek words, I love Greek words. They are, as they say, pregnant with meaning. They have a lot of meaning in those words. And if we are saved, we are saved spiritually. We are healed physically. We are delivered. Well, that's deliverance from any form of problem, whether it's an addiction or, you know, satanic oppression or demons or whatever you want to look at. Deliverance. Saved, healed, delivered, protected. That's Psalm 91 protection. Made whole. Well, wholeness covers a whole lot. Made whole can be made whole even financially. But it goes on to say made whole financially and spiritually and delivered from all temporal, which is things that are subject to time, which is the world we live in, issues or problems. So, I mean, man, it covers everything. But the thing about it is there's a lot of people claiming to be Christians, don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm sorry. You really need to examine where you're at as a Christian, and I use that term advisedly, because you've got to believe in that. And what do? You have to choose to believe that. Now, let's think about some things that people choose to believe. There's a lot of people in this world today that choose to believe that homosexuality is fine. There's not a problem with it, as Pastor said when he was preaching Sunday. Oh, it's just another form of love. That's what a lot of people say. But that's not the case. The Bible explicitly says that homosexuality is a gross sin, an abominable sin, that it, basically, if you read the Hebrew, it's pretty graphic. It says it makes God want to throw up. I mean, that's pretty rough, make God throw up. Okay? That's pretty rough right there. And there's a lot of people that say, well, yeah, but see, you're just closed-minded. Yeah, I'm closed-minded. Why? Because I'm right. Amen. Well, you arrogant person, you. I'm not arrogant. There's not an arrogant bone in my body. I simply know the Bible is true. I simply know that God is God, and what he says is the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he said in his word that homosexuality was a sin, an abominable sin. Therefore it is. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. God said, okay? But here are all these people that have chosen to believe that homosexuality is okay. Why? Because the world says it's only fair that they should love the way they want to love. Well, you know, that sounds fine. In the natural, you look at it and say, well, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's okay. If it's okay with them, it's, you know, whatever. No, it's still sin. Because the Bible says it is. And I don't have the right to an opinion when it comes to the Bible. Well, I have a right to my opinion. No, you don't. Not if you're a Christian. You literally do not have a right to have an opinion. You only have a right to believe the Word of God. Now, a lot of people get all cramped about that. Well, that's just not right. See, that's because you're speaking from a worldview that is motivated by the world itself. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world system. See, it's easy to be conformed to a world system when we are constantly bombarded by the TV, by the news, by magazines, by newspapers, by people around us, by folks that are talking and saying things like, well, yeah, you know, homosexuality is really all right. We need to let it go. I mean, even Hillary Clinton recently said that Christians are going to have to get with the program and change their doctrine to come up with the times. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's not like God's up there going, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let me scratch that out and start over. The word is forever settled in heaven. Well, if it's forever settled, he ain't changing it. And he certainly doesn't change his mind. So I'm not going to change my mind on it either. Now, they can argue all day. They can fuss at me. They can tell me they're going to draw and quarter me. But the Bible still says what the Bible says, and that's just the way it is. So I, again, have a right to only believe what the Bible says. Now, The world has chosen to believe that homosexuality is all right socially. It's fine. It's on TV. Everybody says, oh, it's all right. Why? Because they chose to. It was a choice that they made. I can guarantee you, 50 years ago, if you were to stand up and say, yeah, homosexuality is fine, boy, you'd have been beat with a bat. I mean, when I came up in high school, if there was even a hint that somebody swung the wrong way, you know what I mean, it was a scandal. But today it's like, oh, wow, you're really hip, aren't you? You're right up here with the crowd. Like it's a good thing. Well, see, attitudes have changed. But guess what hasn't changed? The Word of God hasn't changed. Now, you choose to believe. Well, there's people that have chosen to believe that evolution works. They've chosen to believe that the origin of the species is some single-celled thing that multiplied into a multiple-cell thing that crawled out of the ocean and on and on and on, all this stuff. Well, you know, it's a funny thing about that. Darwin was a theological student. He actually started out studying theology. Then he went to the Galapagos Islands and he saw all the stuff he saw, and he wrote the book, The Origin of the Species. And to hear some people tell it, you would think that the book, The Origin of the Species, was the Bible itself. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Darwinism, everything he said was 100% right. Have you ever actually looked at some of the things he said in that book? He said, for instance, one of the things he said was that if you look at man, the light-skinned man is more highly developed and evolutionarily developed than a dark-skinned man. Well, I'm sorry, but that would make him a racist. By any definition, I would think. Yet he is their great prophet. You know, he also said in the same book, The Origin of the Species, he said, one looking at the human eye and how it works and functions, it would be absurd to say that that occurred through natural selection. Well, funny, you know, I've seen some science programs that say that because of what Darwin said, that eyes developed so that we could see because of a natural need on the part of creatures to see, and so that eye developed just out of, you know, evolution. But that's not what Darwin believed. That's not what he wrote in his book. He said there was a designer because the human eye was proof that there was no way that could have occurred naturally. It had to be supernaturally created. So, I mean, even Darwin didn't believe what he wrote when you get right down to it. And then finally on his deathbed, he recanted the whole thing. He said, what I ever think I wrote is just crazy. You know, and I hope, praise the Lord, I hope he was born again before he slipped on out into eternity. I don't know if he was or not. But the thing is, people have chosen to believe in evolution. And I like what Brother Hagin said about a theory of evolution. Brother Hagin's definition of a theory is ignorance of the facts under discussion. A supposition based on ignorance of the facts under discussion. And it's funny to hear him say that, but it's absolutely a legitimate definition. If you look it up in Merriam-Webster, you look up what a theory is, in so many words, that's exactly what it is. A theory is a supposition, a surmise of something of which you have no hard evidence. There is no hard evidence of evolution. There's no hard evidence of some single-celled creature eventually becoming a multi-celled proof of that. There's nothing that ever shows that some animal becomes some other animal. As a matter of fact, the Bible specifically says that one kind of animal cannot become another kind of animal. It just doesn't work that way. And if the Scripture says it, then that's the truth. Okay, so they've chosen to believe stuff like that. And they have great faith in evolution. Entire programs on television just absolutely say, this is fact. And it's taught that way in schools. This is fact. Yet, it has to be taken on faith because there's no evidence for it. There's no hard scientific evidence. It's not repeatable. The scientific method cannot be applied. So what am I saying here? You've got to choose to believe something. You choose to believe in evolution. You choose to believe that homosexuality is all right. You choose to believe all of these things are true just because the world's saying it. And if you hear it repeated often enough, it will become part of you. I mean, Goebbels found that out in his propaganda during World War II. He found that if you repeat a lie often enough, now you know it's a lie when you're saying it, but if you repeat it often enough, then people will believe it, and they'll swear up and down that it's absolutely. Well, praise the Lord. I trust you enjoyed the message today. We're going to pick up next time and conclude this message. So join us for the next program, the next netcast. Until then, though, I'd love for you to write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Of course, you can also write me and get through to me a little quicker if you will use my email address. And that, of course, is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. And, of course, you can send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what this program, what this netcast means to you. And share it with your friends. Tell others about this netcast and point them to our website at WFM.org. And you can be a part of this ministry reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.